Let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father, I want to thank you for this day where we celebrate Ascension, where we think about the great commission of you sending us out into this world. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us bring together this message and that we will understand it and be inspired by it and be a part of what you're wanting to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to go back very quickly over the story. We've had Easter. Easter is a great time of remembering what Jesus did on the cross and that he died and he rose again. We've also gone into great lengths talking about the road to Emmaus, the two guys walking with Jesus, Jesus opening their eyes and they saw who it was, and it was quite a significant. Last week I spent some time, and hopefully you got the centrality of what the message was about, is that we serve a risen Jesus. He's not pre the cross, he's after the cross. Death is defeated. The enemy is defeated. We serve a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. And so that peace that he brings into our lives is something very incredible and very, very important. But in amongst this time, I want us to stop for a moment and think about the disciples. They've been on a roller coaster ride and a half, haven't they? They were walking with Jesus. They had a great time that week leading up to Easter. They had a great time at the Last Supper, although Jesus freaked them out a little bit by washing their feet. You know, he did something that only a servant should do. And you can just imagine what they're thinking about. And then Jesus talked about someone betraying them. And then there was all these other things that were happening. And then after that, they went to a prayer meeting. And the prayer meeting was so impactful, they fell asleep. And then some soldiers turned up and there was a whole bunch of argy-bargy going on. Ears were being chopped off and everything. And then all of a sudden people disappeared and Jesus is taken and brutally tortured. Some of them snuck back to watch that. Most snuck back to watch Jesus be put on a cross and they saw him die. Imagine, I've been walking with this guy for 3 years and now it's all over. What happened to the revolution? What happened to the rebellion? What happened to the kingdom of Israel rising again? The disappointment, the frustration. This is not the way it's meant to be. And now some of our women are saying he's risen from the dead. What's going on? Now we've got two guys that have just run back from Emmaus and they've told us. And then Jesus turns up and we think it's a ghost. And he says, peace. What does he mean, peace? Peace in this time? Richard Chamberlain? Is this what he's talking about? What's going on? Could you imagine their frustration? Imagine the roller coaster ride that they're going on. Is he dead? Is he alive? What does that mean? If he's alive, what does that mean? Does that mean, ooh, he can't be killed? Wow, here comes the revolution. There, we're going to kick the Romans out. Can you see where they're going with all this? And they're struggling to get the picture. I don't know about you, but this last 18 months has been a bit of that roller coaster ride for me. And I caught up with a whole bunch of people. So many people on Thursday that joined together to say thank you, but also goodbye to the Coffee Chaplaincy Ministry in its old format. It'll be coming back in a new format. So if you want to be a part of our Coffee Chaplaincy in the future, come and see John and Anne. We'll get new training developed and we'll work in with the hospital and we'll be going back into the hospital one day. Soonish, when we can. But that's a ministry that will open up again. And so I got to talk to a whole bunch of other people that I haven't seen in this place, but they came along to that morning tea and it was just so good to see them. Some of them talked about their struggles from doing church online for all these last 12 months. But for their own safety and for the way that they're understanding things, they've been staying home. And they've just been looking through the TV screen at us. How you guys doing today? Some have enjoyed that. Some have struggled, even though that's the best scenario for them at this time. Other of you have come and been a part of being back in this space. Others have taken the opportunity of, hey, I can go do something else Sunday morning and watch online at another time during the week. We've got plenty of options available to us. But this lady was sharing with me and she said, it's been a tough time. And she said, we need prayer. And so I'm going to pray for us today. I'm going to pray that God would give us his peace, that we, in and through this time, whether it be that roller coaster ride or whether we're frustrated, that we would understand that God is in the midst of this, that he is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. So let's just pray. Father God, I want to thank you that we can pray. I want to thank you that we can pray in this space, in our home groups, out in the community and online. And I pray right now that you would fill us with your peace. Lord God, where we've been frustrated. Lord, where we've felt distanced, even though we've done the things that we felt we needed to. I pray, Lord God, you would do something incredible beyond our concepts, beyond our understanding, that we would be able to connect in other ways there. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would inspire us by the power of your Holy Spirit. That we would be creative in how we can support one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And we pray for your peace. Your peace. Back to our story. Jesus has taken 40 days to share with his friends and the disciples about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God, is that something new to the disciples? No. He taught all about it when he walked those 3 years with them. Remember stories like the seed that's sown into the ground? Or the yeast and the bread? Or the kingdom of God is like a treasure that's hidden in a field? Or a fish net? Or the merchant? Or that you have to receive the kingdom of God as a child? These are some of the things that Jesus taught them when in that ministry period. So in this 40 days, it's like, what you didn't get then, I'm going to give you now. Here it is, 40 days to understand the kingdom of God. I wonder how dim-witted we are. Sorry, dim-witted. Was that supposed to be dim-witted the disciples were? I might have made a mistake there. I apologize. We're not dim-witted, are we? We know the kingdom of God, don't we? We get it. We understand Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We understand that the kingdom of God is here. We understand that on this great day, that is Anzac Day, which celebrates our great nation, and address me, Aussie, 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 oi, 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 I'm Aussie. But that's nothing compared to the kingdom of God. Our nationalism, what's it good for? Is it disciples that are just dim-witted, or are we dim-witted? Or am I? Surely they got it. Surely they knew that Jesus was the new king. The king of God's kingdom. It still remains a mystery. It's a bit of that imagery that we get the picture of, but sometimes we don't get the picture of. We even use phrases like the now and the not yet, because it's difficult. It's a mystery. But here's this, but from the very birth of Jesus, an angelic messenger arrives and says to Mary that she was going to have a son. And this is what it says. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will know no end. That's right at the very beginning. When Mary's about to have a baby, she gets this word from an angel sent by God. This child is special. He will reign. So you can understand the reign of Israel. Yes, we're going to get rid of the Romans. Today, we're reflecting on the ascension, on the Great Commission. The king is crowned. The kingship is heralded. The new king will go beyond the borders of Israel. Jesus' kingdom is way bigger than anything Solomon could have ever dreamed or hoped for. It goes further than the borders of the Roman Empire. Caesar, nothing compared to Jesus. There's no boundaries also for Jesus' kingdom in time. It's beyond time and space. See, Jesus has a kingdom without an end. The kingdom of heaven is not easy. It's described in many different ways in the Old Testament. But one thing that it does do, that we can get it, is that it turns this world upside down. It's not the way that we perceive it. And yet so often, and why I say that I'm dim-witted, is because I get sucked back into the kingdom of this world. I get sucked back into the culture of this world. I get sucked back into doing things the way this world encourages me to do it, instead of doing it Jesus' way. Instead of doing it Jesus' way. You see, Jesus talked about things like, the last shall be first. No, we like the first. We want to be first. Maybe that's why the Broncos are losing. The Lord's trying to teach me a lesson. He talks about leaders being servants. Hold on a sec. Leaders being servants? No. You climb the ladder to be the boss. You don't want to climb the ladder to get down on your hands and knees and wipe dirty disciples' feet. That's the way he showed it, though. And then he turns it around, and the children will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus grabbed a towel and not a sword. He turned this whole understanding of kingdom upside down. Then when Jesus was with his disciples, as we read today, thank you, Dan, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they said to him, Lord, when is the time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? So you can see the frustration coming through. Yep, your teaching is about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. But what about the kingdom of Israel? Isn't that that's really important? This is Acts chapter 1, verse 6. 40 days is almost up. Verse 9, as Dan read out, Jesus goes off to heaven. They're still not getting it. So Jesus says something like, yes, no. This is his answer. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods what the Father has set in place by his own authority. Is that a good Aussie, yeah, nah? It is, isn't it? It's a, yes, the kingdom's coming, but yeah, you won't know. You'll never know. You'll never know. Now, quick confession time. How many people at one stage of your life got into this, when is Jesus coming back mode? Now, if I grab the year 2020 and divide it by 6 and times it by 7 and grab the book of Daniel and grab something from the book of Revelations, Jesus is coming back in 2032. Hallelujah. Have you ever done that sort of thing? When our kids were smaller, before they got into those teenage years, Cynthia had a prayer. Lord Jesus, may the second coming come before they get to their teenage years. She got it wrong. We're still here. Jesus hasn't come back, and we made it through the teenage years. So Jesus doesn't say anything, but he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Do you hear what it says there? You will. Not, yeah, you might. If when the Holy Spirit hits you, you might get a little tingle in your fingers. And you might go, ooh, God touched me. No. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, okay, when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, I might testify, yep, I'm wearing a cross. I'm wearing the letter T around my neck so everyone knows that I love Jesus. No. You will be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. Let me share with you when we go back into the story with Matthew, because Matthew talks about that all authority has been given. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus is having a bit of a ding-dong with the devil. He has these days out in the desert, and the devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all their glory, and he says this, I will give all these things to you if you will fall down and worship me. Remember that? He says to Jesus, all this can be yours right here and right now if you will worship me. Do you think that was a temptation for Jesus? You mean, I can have all this now and I don't have to go and hang out with those dim-witted disciples for 3 years? I don't have to go to the cross? I don't have to die that painful death? I can have all authority on heaven and earth? Jesus refuses, and he states, you will worship the Lord God Almighty. For him, there is no other way. There is no shortcut for Jesus. For him, the way to that place, to that kingdom, is the cross. I don't know about you, but I like shortcuts. If there's a shortcut, I like to take it. I love it. Traveling to Gladstone this afternoon, if I could get there in an hour, I would. I like getting there. I don't like getting there. I want to get there. Shortcuts are painful, but good. Jesus said no to the shortcut. So isn't it interesting, at the very beginning of Matthew and the very end of Matthew, here is this kingdom battle going on. The devil offering it, and then Jesus saying, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. to him now that he's risen from the dead. And he says this to the disciples, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That song that we sang with Dan is that Jesus was always going to be with us in the highs and with the lows. He's always going to be with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's with us to the end of the age. But he calls us to go. You see, I'm under God's authority. I'm a servant of the King. And when God says go, it's time to go. There's no sitting back and saying, no, in my time. It's go. It's do what God's called us to do. It's we're on a mission. Missionaries, we're on a mission. Jesus' mission was to go to the cross. He didn't shirk it. He didn't take a shortcut when it was right there before him. Now, this is a massive position for the disciples to get their heads around. Because there's massive changes taking place, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually for them. You see, the enemy of all mankind has been defeated. Death has been defeated. The mission of Jesus is being completed. Jesus has rightfully received what the devil wanted to give him back in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is rightfully the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. And when he says loudly and clearly that all authority has been given to him on heaven and earth, he is stating a fact. He's not just stating a maybe, he's stating a fact. And this fact starts back in a weird vision in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Now, I love Daniel. I love all the weird visions of the funky looking animals and the great big statues and all that sort of thing. It's fantastic. I get lost in it. Rabbit warrens all over the place. I can spend years looking in the book of Daniel. But one thing I didn't realize was this week, this little passage from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. And it says this, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like a son of man." Remember that passage? "One like a son of man. He came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near and right near before him." Now, Jamie, I need you to know that this passage, when it says Ancient of Days, that's referring to God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all that is, not to your Father. All right, I know you call me eternal and old and everything, but I am not Ancient of Days. It is God the Father. "Then at him who has dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. For his kingdom, the one shall not be destroyed." Who's that about? That's Jesus, the Son of Man. Is Jesus. Now, I was hanging out with one of my beloved Bible college people that I look up to this morning, and he was able to affirm to me that one of the most used phrases that Jesus used it about himself was, in fact, the Son of Man. I remember in Bible college in theological days that we studied the Son of Man and the Son of God, and what did it mean? Often when you say, oh, the Son of God, that meant his divinity. Well, often the Son of God actually meant his humanity, and the Son of Man meant his divinity. What? Upside down world. Jesus loves it. He loves messing with it. Let me just read you this. This is some significant word from a commentary. "Who is this Son of Man? Who is the Ancient of Days? Could this be a vision of the ascension of Jesus Christ?" Can you picture it? Here's the Son of Man. He's going up. And who's he going to? The Ancient of Days. This does not appear out of the blue, nor does it come at a random, because the New Testament doesn't just happen by itself. The Old Testament is not just a whole bunch of books to make the Bible look impressive and big and powerful. The Old Testament actually has a whole bunch of stuff that lays it down for us to know in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's what God's plan was. So in Daniel, we understand that there's a new kingdom coming, and it's a kingdom without an end, and this kingdom has a king, and his name is Jesus. And all authority has been given to him. And as the king, he has a task and a purpose for the servants of this kingdom. Now, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, you're on a mission. You don't get just to flick back and watch Netflix all day. That's not the mission to the kingdom of God. That's to the kingdom of Netflix. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, "So at the name of Jesus, everyone will bow down, those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And to the glory of God the Father, everyone will openly agree that Jesus Christ is Lord." Every tongue, every dominion, every person, every people group, all those people, Paris, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now in the book of Luke, we read that verse today as well. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now it came to pass that while he was blessing them, that he was parted from them and he carried off into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. They got it at the end. When they saw Jesus rise up, they're getting the picture of Daniel. They're getting the picture of the Son of Man. They're getting the picture of the Ancient of Days. They finally understand that they are now going to belong to the kingdom of God, and their life is to be poured out as an offering to the King of Kings. You talk about the disciples, they lived it. They went and they shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Now the book of Luke finishes there. But for those of us who know the book of Luke and the book of Acts, guess what? It's part one and part two. In our Bibles, it's separated by the book of John. And so often when you're reading through the Bible, you read Luke and you forget that where Luke finishes, Luke, Acts starts. So we start off here now in Acts chapter 1, and I'm leaving out the introduction bit. But he says this, "Until the day then which he was taken up, and after that through the Holy Spirit had been given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive." Remember, we went through all that last week. He showed them that he was alive. He presented himself. He ate boiled fish and honeycomb. He showed them who he was. "And at doing this, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' Because John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In fact, I got news. It's in 10 days from this point. The disciples, 10 days time. 40 days is the ascension. 50 days is Pentecost. "And then they had that discussion with him that we already talked about, and he said, 'It is time, it is not for you to know about these things, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and you will go into Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth.'" In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, how many of you have known that phrase, the Great Commission? Yeah, okay, cool. It's not. Thank you, John, I see that hand. The Great Commission, they're calling it the Great Omission these days. The Great Omission. Let's not worry about that. Let's just build the kingdom of Kiwanis Life. Let's just build the ACC. Let's just build the Baptist. Let's just build the Catholic Church. No, no, no. It's the kingdom of God, people. And we have to be on board with the kingdom of God. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. We're coming into a missions month, and we're going to hear amazing stories about people doing amazing things all over the place, both locally and overseas. And I'm excited about that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says the phrase, the assignment, differently. But he says, "You will receive power. You will be my witnesses." Is this an assignment for you and for me? I believe with my whole heart it is. I believe with my whole heart that he wants to fill us up with his Holy Spirit, to empower us, to give us dreams, to give us visions, to send us out excited and empowered to be his witnesses here, there, and everywhere. So I lay before you the challenge today. Do you want to take part in the Great Commission, or do you want to kick back and be a part of the Great Omission? The assignment is before us. It's for you and for me. There is no shortcut to this assignment. It takes prayer. It takes commitment. It takes a servant-heartedness. It takes us to be in places where we will feel uncomfortable. The Spirit of God, I believe, wants to move in and through us. He will give us the words to speak. So in this next month, let's pray. Let's be obedient. Let's get into God's Word. And let's have our eyes opened to what Jesus is doing. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this incredible passage. I want to thank you for this incredible tie-in with the Old Testament into the New Testament and the kingdom of God and the King of Kings. Lord, I've often looked at the ascension as just when Jesus left the planet, where Jesus said, hey, it's over to you. See you later. God bless. I'll send my spirit in 10 days. But it's so much more than that, Father. It's so much more. Today, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. We confess you as Lord. We want to be a part of the kingdom of God. We want to be part of the upside down kingdom where leaders serve, where the children are first, where the first will be last and the last shall be first. Father God, open our eyes. Open our eyes to your kingdom, to your way, and to your will. Amen.